I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Welcome to I'm Listening. I'm your host, Anita Flores. I have a special guest this week. She is a writer, she is a comedian, and I believe she's a fellow craniac, such as myself. Please welcome Rekha Shankar to the podcast. Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Amazing. This is, by the way, our first episode cross-continental, bi-coastal. Are you in LA?
Yes, I am in LA.
Gotcha. And but you did used to live in New York, yeah?
I just moved 10 months ago to LA. Oh. So I very much still consider myself someone who doesn't live in LA.
Sure.
But yes, but I do.
And are you at College Humor currently?
Yes.
Amazing.
Yes.
Well, okay. So you're in LA. I personally have not spent much time there. Have you ever been to Seattle, where Frasier takes place?
Okay. No. But I have always wanted to go, mm-hmm. even though it doesn't make sense. The show was not filmed there except the 100th episode. That's
really?
The only episode. But because it's Fraser Crane Day and they show all these exteriors and stuff of Seattle. Mm-hmm. This is the only episode that's remotely in Seattle. Cafe Nervosa is not a place, but these are all the things that I'm like, I want to go to Seattle. I'm like, no, all the powers are not real. Like, none of this is real.
Was it all filmed in LA? That I didn't know.
I think it was. I think it was just like a lot show because it was an NBC show.
I mean, the crazy part is I truly don't know anything about Seattle, and everything that I know of it comes from that show, which is weird because it doesn't actually exist, anything in that show.
It's stupid. I like in the throes of my when I first discovered Frasier, I was like Googling Seattle like trips and like fun things. Yeah, it's like visiting the pineapple that SpongeBob blows in. It's like, yeah, this isn't fucking
real. Wow. Well, then when I go to Seattle, I feel like it's not going to live up to the hype of a fake fantasy city.
Yeah, of a fake fantasy city where the view Fraser has from his apartment and apparently doesn't even exist. Like no apartment that view of the space needle.
All right.
Anyway.
Unbelievable. Okay, you're full of fun facts, which is good. I feel like every Fraser, true Fraser fan I meet has some facts that no one else knows. I mean, I constantly bring up that there were two Eddies, and the first one was named Moose and was also making millions of dollars. A dog. It is
I
crazy.
did not know he made money. That's great. I do know his son or whatever, right, plays the next one.
That I
Or
didn't
like he's
know.
okay. I think it might be like offspring of Moose that plays the next Eddie.
Unbelievable. So, I am curious, what is your history with Frasier? How did you get into
Okay, so I'm like beaming with excitement that
it?
someone wants to answer to this. I've always been a huge sitcom fan, but when I started doing improv, I realized I didn't. There were so many references in improv that I didn't understand. I've never seen Star Wars or Indiana Jones and all these things. And I was like, well, I don't really have an interest in watching those things, but something I do have an interest in catching up on is sitcoms I never saw, because I love sitcoms and there's some I never saw. And I loved Cheers growing up and had heard of Frasier as like a spinoff, but was like, I don't know anything about the show. I'll give it a watch. And I made myself a list of like, okay, this day I'm going to try watching an episode of Frasier. This day I'll try like WKRP Cincinnati and whatever, whatever. So day one, I started Frasier, and I was so obsessed. This was in 2012 that I didn't watch any of the other shows. I just watched Frasier, all 11 seasons in like 3 months.
Whoa.
I went crazy. I just couldn't believe how good this show was. It was better than Cheers, in my opinion. And so rarely is like a spinoff given as much many seasons and is as good or maybe better than the original. So I was just like so obsessed. I watched it. Yeah, I watched all of it in like 3 months, and then I rewatched it several months later, all 11 seasons, and then I rewatched it again. So I've seen the whole series 3 times,
Wow.
and it's so rare to discover something you love that much, like kind of into your adulthood. Like,
Yeah.
feel like you get those ties in your childhood. So it was like, wow, I've like discovered a whole new show. This is awesome. And like, I don't know. Yeah, maybe it was just because I had no expectations for it, but I just like, I could, even if there was a dog character, I just fell in love from episode one. Yeah, so 2012 is when I started watching it, and I was just obsessed.
I mean, hey, yeah, that's a very different experience than me because I also loved sitcoms and also would say it's important to note that I didn't have cable growing up, so I really was just living on sitcoms. So Frasier, I started watching while it was on when I was like a kid, and I was doing the same thing. I was watching Friends and Seinfeld, and they didn't necessarily have the same meaning, but I would say Frasier is the show I've most rewatched
Yeah.
over and over. I have rewatched that show more times than I can count. And I feel
Yeah.
like as I got older, it might be a little different for you, especially because you've been writing for so long. But for me, the way plots would build up in that show or build up to often, like I'm in the future, I'm going to do an entire episode of this podcast just about best dinner party episodes. It felt like as I got older and started rewatching these, it f almost felt like watching a mathematical equation because there were all these things that I get stuck on where I'm like, how did the writers think to make sure that that was a part of a thing? I'm trying to think of a specific example. You might have some that pop into your head.
Yeah.
But like oh, like when one and one episode, it's like Christmas time and Daphne mishears something and thinks that Martin is dying, but he's actually in a Christmas pageant and she thinks he's talking about seeing God, but that's not what he's talking about. I was like, how do you think that far ahead?
Totally. I always found that even within the math of like that show and how our how sitcoms are written, Frasier still surprised me. Like in the way that like even if it was mathy, like I've rewatched it so many times. I'm like, I don't know any other sitcoms that like would formulate an episode like this. So it's like really.
I completely agree. I mean, I was a big fan of Friends, and what's interesting now is Friends And of course, I've rewatched Friends ever since it came back on Netflix. And obviously, hope it's a good sign. We realize, you know, there's definitely things that you could get away with in the late 90s, early 2000s that you couldn't get away with now. But the level, like, I think with Friends, the big thing that struck me was how homophobic that show was. Like, I don't think I sent you this article, but I found an article that interviewed David Hyde Pierce. I think he was promoting like a Broadway show, and this was while Frasier was still on. And at the time, I think he had recently come out of the closet. But he said something that struck me, which was essentially like, yes, there have been a lot of like gay plot lines on Frasier, but I would hope that we weren't like making it seem shameful being gay. And I would say that was like a big thing that was on Friends, which was, it was this like, it was always used as an insult, anything that had to do with being gay. And I was like, yeah. So no, I would say there's definitely not another show I can think of that has such a specific storyline. Also living.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what I was going to ask you was, oh yes. Do you have a favorite character?
Niles Crane, all day, every day.
Okay.
David Hyde Pierce is so good in that role. Like, I don't know. That show does a really good job at making, like, hyperbolic stereotype characters actually have depth to them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Niles, in theory, is just, like, a germophobic, like, anxious freak.
Definitely a freak.
Yeah, but like he has a real humanity to him of just like, yeah, living in his older brother's shadow and like just wanting to feel like, like people are proud of him and like that he can feel agency in his life in a very bad marriage for most of his life and things. And I don't know, I just, God, he's such a funny actor.
He was
everything.
Yeah, he's super funny, and I feel like because of the complex he had as the younger brother, and he did have this especially like with Daphne, there was definitely a tendency for him to be very, you know, timid, that when he would burst out of it, it was like that takes such a great level of acting.
Yes.
You know, you can predict and also of course Frasier is a great character, but definitely a lot more predictable.
Yeah. And like, it's so interesting to have two characters that are kind of these hoity-toity men. Cause like sometimes like Niles makes Frasier seem like normal.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It's absolutely crazy. And it's also interesting because like, especially Niles out of the two of them, but thinking about, like, I was a psych major for a brief period of time, like 2 years. And it was during that time period I came to discover that a lot of, like, people that are in or go into psychology or even psychologists themselves are just as nuts, even a little crazier than the people that are going to a therapist.
Totally. One thing that I was like, this isn't realistic. I think both Frasier and Niles would be in therapy.
For sure. Absolutely. Oh,
like
that...
I think see therapists.
I mean, it boggles. Sometimes I also start to think about when the chain ends, like the idea of infinity. Cause I always think like, who's seeing my therapist and then my therapist. And like, what, is there anyone who's doing this job who's just immune to having to see a therapist? Because I personally would think if you're a therapist, you need some way to unwind at the end of the day, like listening to other people's problems all day. I'm too selfish for that. I don't want to do it.
Also, where does the chain of confidentiality end? Like, if you're a therapist and someone tells you something that's like super heavy and you go to your therapist, can you talk about that? Because
I certainly wonder about that. And I actually just watched a crime show where there's a priest that's going through a similar debacle where like a murderer tells him he murdered somebody, and then he's like, but God, I can't. And so I also wonder that about therapists. Somebody somewhere has told their therapist they've done something illegal.
Yes,
I'm guessing.
Sure.
Perhaps. So I feel like you've mentioned, or at least via email and possibly on Twitter, that at least at one point or now you have something relating to Frasier on your Tinder profile.
A I
quote?
absolutely do. I never know what to put in those kind of like bios and profiles and things. And like when you try to boil down your interests to just be like two words in something, I'm like, well, I love baking and I've seen all of Frasier 3 times. Like those are two very important things about me. And I find it's like a good, it's like a nice what, like a sifter, in the sense of like, cool, if you like Frasier, you know where I'm at. And like I've gotten some, like I've chatted a little bit with people on there about it, which is like nice. But crazily, when John Mahoney passed, very sadly, I got like 3 messages from men I went on one Tinder date with and we never spoke again that were like, so sorry for your loss. And I'm like, oh, talk about something else. But it's like, it's just so nice to like, I don't know, I love hearing when people are passionate about something, even if it's not something I'm interested in. And like,
Absolutely.
it's just one of those things. I'm like, I could talk all day. I love it so much.
You know what? I think that's a really good approach. Having been on, I'd say, most of the apps, especially Tinder, I feel like the mistake that I made in the past was not mentioning a show, but I feel like I mentioned something about eating, like food. And that was a tough track to get off of, like into a romantic transition, like where we just start talking about like sandwiches. And then, like, it was over. Like, I didn't know what to do after that. So I think I like your method.
Thank you.
Well, also, sometimes I get like, especially if you say you're a writer, a comedian, sometimes you can get some pretty obnoxious stuff. But here's what I want to know. Do you ever have like a dead giveaway? Like, if somebody does message you about Frasier and you can tell they've seen like one episode?
I think usually the people that like it will ask me like a favorite episode or something like that. And like
That's good.
people who don't really like it will be like, Frasier, that's crazy or something. You're like, or like, why Frasier or something? And you're like, you really want me to go into this? Why Frasier? Yeah, Tinder message. I did literally. I like went into it with some dude where I was just like, number one.
And then you guys, started dating, I
we're
hope.
together.
Great. See, and that's a tough question too, because my issue would be if somebody did ask me something like that, you're not going to give a two-word answer, which is what was always afraid about online dating. I was like, I can't do 4 sentences. Then I'm crazy. Are there any, like, even now, I couldn't necessarily tell you what's the kind of guy that likes Frasier, because I often stereotype, like, a typical frat bro has a picture of like Scarface, right? So if some guy tells me Scarface is his favorite movie, I've already started to put him in a corner. I have. But I don't know if there's like a certain man that falls into that category, because you've probably talked to more of them because you put that in your profile. So would you say that a guy that likes Frasier also has any other like overlapping characteristics?
There's only been a couple that have actually like watched the show a lot and haven't just like, I've seen an episode on the Hallmark Channel. And both of them were like kind of socially awkward, which sucks. Because I like meet a lot of women who really like it and
For
I
sure.
don't find that they're socially awkward. So like I don't know if we're going to Frasier for different things. Like I don't go to Frasier because I relate to him.
Course not.
So I don't, yeah. So like the one guy in particular who had seen every episode, he was like very awkward. And it was like, I'm happy we can still sort of talk about this, but this kind of just feels like we're exchanging sentences. I feel no chemistry with you. He's one of the people that messaged me, apologizing for John Mahoney's passing.
Oh, well, I mean, there's something so odd to me about this idea that like you went on a first date with at least one or two of those guys. N They never got back to you, but then they felt like that was appropriate to be
Yeah,
like
I think
I mean, I've had that happen like on Facebook, for example, where like, I went on a date or some dates with somebody. They didn't get back to me, but then they started liking statuses or like your
No,
tweets. I just
no.
unfriend them.
I do. Because I'm like, I'm not here for that. What a weird way to be rejected. Like, I just, I don't need to, I don't need to, yeah, I don't need to be reminded that you exist.
Yes.
Okay. So we've covered your history. I would love to talk about this essay that you wrote. So listeners, Rekha wrote an amazing, she's laughing right now. I don't know why. I love it. I mean, we should be laughing, but she wrote a really great essay asking the question, why do people of color love Frasier? Hey, one day, who knows? Maybe there's going to be a whole class in a college about this show. You're going to be in a textbook. You never know. So, and as a Latina woman, it definitely spoke to me, your essay, especially because I know other women of color. Like, one of my closest friend who we constantly talk about, she's Colombian. And one thing I notice about the two of us is that we're both pretty anxious people. And we've both discussed our love of this show and how it's one of those things that we just love to have in the background or something we like to watch when we like can't sleep. And
yes.
Yeah.
I always watch this when going to sleep. And that people think that sounds insulting. No, it's not an insult. It's like so comforting. It's like Coco. It's just like.
Absolutely. Oh, wait. Did you just mention the movie Coco?
No, I didn't.
Oh my God.
No, I'm sorry. But that movie, meant like hot. But that Coco killed me.
That's why I watched it last night. And it was like, I mean, it was so incredible. But this is why I resort to watching the same like five sitcoms over and over, because often it's just too much of a bummer for me. Disney movies, Pixar movies, A Handmaid's Tale. It's just too much for me emotionally that I can't deal with it. And then I just end up going back to like the same four to five shows.
Oh, yeah.
And that's how I feel about Frasier. And it's great because it's also so long. There's 11 seasons and there's like 20 plus episodes per season. You don't get that a lot with a lot of shows these days.
And you don't get a lot of shows that stay consistent. I would say Frasier had one dip in season 8, but like throughout remains like you could kind of pick any season and I think you'd be good.
Absolutely. So I went through. Okay, before we get into the essay itself, how long did you write this essay? Or long ago did you write it? And what prompted you to do so?
So I wrote this the day John Mahoney passed away. I was sad.
Yeah.
It was just sad because I kind of like to check in on like sitcom actors from shows. I like to be like, I hope everyone's still around and alive. Yeah. And John Mahoney was someone I had checked on a bunch of times. And so it was really sad to hear that he passed away, especially because like he was such a special part of that sitcom to me that made it very different than the Friendses and the Seinfelds of like, there's an older generation element to this sitcom that really speaks to me. And he's such a terrific actor. It was just very sad. And I had been seeing a lot of tweets on Twitter about Frasier. And I realized, like, I was like, people always ask me why I like this show because it's so white. And I knew a few other people of color who really liked it. And I put up a tweet that was like, I will one day write an essay about why people of color like Frasier. And a few POC liked it and were like, please do. And I was like, huh, yeah, why is this? And so I just like went home and wrote this like 1200 word essay for no one. and also I have written an essay about Frasier before for when I was applying to study at UCB, you have to pick one piece of media that speaks to you.
This is
2013, and I wrote about Frasier. So I'm no stranger to writing an essay about Frasier in a Google Doc, but it was John Mahoney's passing that prompted me to think about it.
I definitely agree with you. There are certain people, actors, that I think about them passing away, and it makes me really sad. And he definitely, in fact, the episode that's coming out tomorrow of this podcast, I talked to Josh Gondelman about Frasier fan fiction, which if you're not familiar with it, I can send you an article because there's a whole world of it. But we were talking about, reunions. And I was saying, I was like, John Mahoney's,
he's in his twilight years. I don't know if he's really in a place right now. I'm not sure if he's in a place to do a reunion. Though, when I saw that he was 77, right? When he wasn't that much older than Kelsey Grammer, which blew my mind and reminded me of the fact that Estelle Getty on The Golden Girls was not that old, but they sort of made her up.
Older than her or something?
I believe she may have been. I think she was the youngest cast member. Small world, or not small world, a weird world. Okay, so I pulled some quotes. I'd love to get into them. There's like a whole paragraph about the fact that Frasier doesn't necessarily represent your experience, and that there's this idea is that these characters transcend their stereotypes. And then and then you said, I did feel like I wanted to hang out with Frasier. I think I could, and then I could rest easy knowing, wow, that guy was a douchebag. I don't even want to go to his dinner party. This is something which other white cast shows in the 90s weren't able to do for me personally.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree, because I also grew up on, all like Frasier, Friends, Seinfeld. I would say those were my top three, all mostly white. And you also, I think you mentioned later on that like you couldn't be friends with Rachel Green, right? So you couldn't be friends with Rachel Green, but you feel like you could be friends. Is there anyone specifically, any character on Frasier that you're like, yeah, we could in the show?
I think I could be friends with Roz pretty easily. I think I could be friends. I think Daphne is my one of my biggest sore points with the show Frasier. I don't think they developed her at all, but she seems pretty amenable. I feel like I could be friends with her. I think I could snag an invite to a party via like Martin as well. And I think I could hold a conversation with Frasier or Niles, but just kind of, it'd be the kind of thing, like I said, sort of in what I wrote, like, if they rejected me, I wouldn't be like, oh, I'm not cool. I'd be like, whatever.
Absolutely. I didn't even think of it that way, which is the idea of like penetrating a circle of people. I feel like you would start with the most approachable, because it's true. I feel like they're in their own little world, Niles and Frasier. Yeah. It's hard to approach that, but I feel like if they would be more open to you or me if Roz or Martin liked us.
Yeah.
Why do you think that specifically the characters on Frasier were more approachable, possibly, than anyone on Friends?
I think simply because the stakes were lower. Like, you're not supposed to like want to be Frasier and Niles. Mm-hmm. I think like when I watch something like Friends or Seinfeld, though, I think you're supposed to want to be part of the gang. Mm-hmm. And I know that I wouldn't be,
for sure.
So it's not that I'm more likely to be part of the Frasier and Niles gang, but it's kind of like there's some TV saying that's like a good TV show, you either really want to be them or you really don't want to be them. And there's not like middle ground or whatever, or you're maybe oscillating between the two. And with like Frasier, it's like, I don't want to be Frasier and Niles. They look like neurotic messes. But they're not something I'm like trying to attain. It's like it's not representation, and it's not representation. It's like, I don't want to be them. They have like miserable lives. And like with Friends and Seinfeld and a lot of other like white cast shows where I already sort of feel excluded on a like race level or like any other level, appearance level, it feels like more of a rejection, where it's like, yeah, Jerry Seinfeld's character would never hang out with me. Elaine wouldn't hang out with me. She would like absolutely talk shit about me, you know? George wouldn't hang out with me. And like Rachel Green, no. No. Chandler, no way. And so it feels more like a clique. It feels more like watching a group of like mean girl type people.
I agree. And also the weird thing about Friends, these are just the idea of like who was writing on any of these shows was not something I thought about until I was much older. So there's all of these now, because I know I'm going to go back and rewatch Friends as a form of comfort. Again, I always do every few years. But there are the way they paint the three of the women in that show it's not relatable. Like there's like I remember Monica, the character of Monica played by Courtney Cox, has she's explaining to her brother Ross why his fiance at the time cared so much about how their wedding would turn out. And she started talking about how every little girl dreams of their wedding and they've been writing about it and dreaming about it since they were a kid. And it, I just remember as I got older, I was like, I never ever had that moment. And for fun, I wouldn't do what the three of them did, which was just wear wedding dresses all day.
I've never thought like yeah.
Just never. So I completely agree with you. I feel like even on a level of let me pretend I'm a person living in their world, I don't think I would have anything in common with them.
Exactly. And when someone on Frasier does an equivalent of let's sit around in our wedding dresses, it's something much more highly unattainable. Like, let's go to a wine club and fight about who's going to be the next president or like whatever. It's like stuff that I'm like, that is not even in my purview. Like, in theory, if I have the type of friends that wanted to do this, I could hang around in a wedding dress all day. But like the stuff Frasier and Niles are doing is like not, I'm at sea level. They're like just at the moon, you know?
Totally. It's definitely beyond my realm of understanding. Yeah. Like there's multiple episodes on that show, which is interesting because they are notoriously pompous of them desperately trying to belong. That's like definitely yes. a very big sort of theme of that show. And like, you know, it's yeah. them trying to go to the opera. Then there's like several episodes revolving around the wine club. And
yeah.
like at some point, like one of them gets into some kind of club and they like go into the club and like there's leather chairs and they're just.
Yes.
And, no, I've never had thoughts like that where I'm like, yes, I want to be in this exclusive club.
But what's so interesting about the way you just phrased that, I've never thought about it in terms of that. Like, yes, they want to belong. And that is something relatable at its core. Whereas in Friends and Seinfeld, I'm like, they are separating themselves from the pack in a way that's like, or like they are like elite. They are like this high clique and everyone else is like an idiot kind of thing. And when you watch Frasier and you see them, you're like, oh, they don't belong. Like, yeah, I'm just watching the circus, you know?
Absolutely.
Like you... like you belong more because you're laughing at Frasier and Niles. You're on Martin's side, you're on Roz's side.
Absolutely.
You know,
and they're also the way people are often because as long as I'm just trashing Friends, the sort of goofiness that you're supposed to attribute to them is like it's not really goofy. I mean, you know, I read Phoebe's Wikipedia page, Phoebe Buffay's, as her character. It's truly frightening. Like, it's just the fact, like, the weird, like, sort of point of her personality is that she grew up homeless and has had all these insane things happen to her, and she stabbed a cop, and you're like,
it's funny because she's white.
Exactly, right, exactly. And I don't get what Rachel Green's thing. I don't. She doesn't even have a thing. Monica's thing is that she has like OCD, but I don't think they even gave Rachel a thing.
Rachel's thing is she's like a daddy's girl that got her credit card taken away and had to become a waitress.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so relatable.
Yeah,
but. You just made me think of some of the characters on Frasier, the female characters, because though Daphne is not fully developed, I will say I appreciated the references to her family or even just these like random sort of mentions of just like the fact that she's psychic or that yes. she had premonitions of killing their yeah. family. Like she hates her mom. I'm like, okay, there's some weird yeah. dark stuff in there.
Yes.
And I don't know, for some reason that added to the allure of yes. Daphne to me, for me. So yes. I wanted to ask you this. If you could write yourself a character, write yourself into the show Frasier, how would you write yourself in? Like, who would you be?
It's so funny because when you, like, I'm thinking about this. And I feel like if it were Friends or Seinfeld, you'd be like, I want to be Jerry's girlfriend. Or I'd want to be... like their partner. I'm like, ew, no,
no
I don't want to be Frasier's girlfriend or Niles's girlfriend.
Absolutely agree.
At all. I was like, maybe I'd be like a cool neighbor or like I thought if they did have therapists. Because like my favorite episode of Frasier is the one where he goes to see his mentor. And
Yes.
I think it's in season 8 or
Yeah.
9. And I think it would be kind of fun to play one of their therapists, like maybe Niles Crane's therapist or
That would
something.
be
Could be really,
interesting.
because you'd get to, like, I don't know. I can just imagine, I can't imagine what Niles would be like in a therapy session. I bet he would be as tight as a fucking, like, black
I could
hole.
see that. I mean, I think for me, I thought about this question as well. And given that you could relate to this, which I would love to talk about a little bit later, but given who I was thinking of, what were there any Latino characters on this show? There was Martha, the maid, who honestly I did love and I thought she was super funny.
So
And
funny.
then a very short but like significant storyline. You only see him once, but the former, I think, like president of their entire radio station, Joe Martin, whose real name is Joe Martinez, and then for a while, like just gets rid of all the programming and just plays music in Spanish. And I
Yes.
thought, oh my God, those were great. So all I could think of is who's somebody I could go in and just be that character, except it's me. I loved Kate Costas as a character.
Oh, the
The
radio
radio manager who
manager.
butts heads with Frasier. Now, I wouldn't want to be involved in a relationship with him, but I did love to see women challenge Frasier.
Yeah, putting them in their fucking place. Like I was thinking about this as like, oh man, their mom is dead, so I couldn't do
Yeah.
that. There's never been an, I don't think there's ever been an Indian person on that show.
I have, well, I think one, but not a recur, like one of the waitresses.
Yes, she.
I remember. I wrote her down because
Oh
she does my favorite, one of my favorite things that doesn't happen in real life, where if your credit card doesn't work, you cut it in half. I've never, my card has been rejected. I've never seen that happen to anyone in real life.
my card in half. That's so funny. Yeah, that's me, and that's representation.
Yeah.
I'm her.
Exactly. You're her. I think that's about it.
You could be the guy that beats the shit out of Frasier off screen in like the third episode in the newspaper that like gives him a bad review, and then Frasier calls him out on air, and then they have a fight outside of
I do
Cafe
vaguely remember that. I also remember Tony Shalhoub being, I think, ethnically ambiguous, but seeming to have some kind of accent that he doesn't have in real life. I was trying to figure out what he was supposed to be.
episode is.
So there was an episode where Frasier does a focus group to find out,
Yes.
yeah, and he plays the guy who works in the magazine stand.
Oh,
Yeah,
fuck.
there's.
Oh, no. I also remember him having an accent.
Yeah.
Oh.
But yes, I do think if that show were to ever come back, I think you and I would have some great suggestions on how to update it.
Terrific.
So I have another excerpt that really stuck out to me from, I feel like this is like NPR. This is like, I'm glad that this essay is getting some time in the spotlight. I bet you never thought that would happen. Who knows what'll
Never.
happen next? So, a quote from you. The next reason I think Frasier resonates with many POC is a big one for me. I grew up in a communal Indian household wherein it's completely normal and actually expected for one's in-laws to live with you. My grandparents, thusly, have lived with me for my whole life. I thought that was really, that rang true. Now, it rang true because I didn't grow up like that because my parents got divorced and I'm an only child. So, if anything, hey, I hate to admit it, but sometimes I do fall into that like friends or family thing just for the reason of like, you know, I didn't have that growing up. But it's very common, I would say, in other cultures. I can definitely speak to Latin American culture as well. So, like, for you, it sounds like it was a bit relatable.
100%. Like, I truly didn't know what Frasier was about when I started watching it. And in the first episode called It's the Good Son, I think is what it's called, his dad moves in with him. And I was like, I remember just watching this and like sitting upright in my bed because I'm watching it while I go to sleep and was like, this is what this show is? I gotta watch. Because just like, yeah, I've grown up my whole life like revering elders and kind of like filial piety stuff. And yeah, my grandparents have always lived with me. And so that really resonated with me, this idea of like, yeah, you're not just like trying to fuck. Like, that's not what this show is about, which is what like, Seinfeld and sometimes Friends, or most of the time Friends, felt like this is like levels. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, Frasier is a man trying to date. Cool. But he's also a man with his career. Also, he's a man figuring out his relationship with his father, mm-hmm. who's vastly different mm-hmm. than him. Mm-hmm. Also, a man trying to figure out his relationship with his brother. Like, the revolving door of, like, aunties and uncles in my house mm-hmm. throughout my life felt, like, much smaller in Frasier, but just like, yep, and my brother's here. Like, he doesn't need to announce himself. Like, yep, my uncle's here. Of course he, mm-hmm. you know, like, that just felt very true. And I really appreciated that aspect of like, yeah, how do you all, that's such a more complicated story. How does Frasier, you know, Frasier's ex-wife coming to town, not just affect him. How does it affect mm-hmm. Martin? Martin hates her. Hates the ice Lilith. Queen. Everyone. Oh, Lilith is also a really good character.
Oh yeah, she's great.
But yeah, so that really struck a note. I'd never seen like a mainstream sitcom that got a significant run that was like really funnily written, that had these like deep interpersonal relationships with the elderly. I like fucking love that.
I mean, I can't believe I'm going to use this as an example because I never watched the show, but I often think about what is my ideal situation sometimes, like in a future where, you know, I'm like very close with my dad. And I knew just from seeing random snippets of it on CBS that King of Queens, the dad, I don't watch the show, but what I'm saying is it's in an ideal situation where Leah Remini's dad lives in the garage, where it's like he can be around, they can spend time together, but he's, you know, not in their face. So I brought that up because I feel like if you enjoyed being around your family, then that makes sense that you would enjoy this. And like, for me, part of the allure of a lot of 90s sitcoms, especially one like Frasier, is they're unrealistic in that it's a weird fantasy world where something happens, some moment in time happens where suddenly you are tied together with the same four or five or six people for an extended period of time. And you just like go through all these experiences together with each other. And then it does become like a family. It, even Daphne, who, you know, nothing romantic happened until pretty far into the show. And she very quickly becomes mm-hmm. like a real member of their family. And Roz in a way, too. So, like, that stuck out to me, what you said about the way you grew up, because that's a fantasy that I envision. I think it sounds great, as long as you enjoy being around that family. Or even, like, I fantasize about the idea of becoming really wealthy, having some, like, the idea of living in a mansion without a lot of people makes me sad. And so I love the idea of, like, all of my close friends, like my best friend doesn't even live in New York. And it's like, I dream of that, like her living upstairs and like someone over here and my two cousins, they're on another floor. It sounds amazing.
Yes, totally.
Here's another excerpt from your essay, which is where you get into things that you can't necessarily excuse that are an issue on the show, which include rampant homophobia, the ogling of women's bodies, totally true. I mean, all of these are true. I wrote this down before I even saw this. The fetishization of East Asian women by Martin, which was such a weird, like side plot you don't expect, where listeners, what I'm thinking of specifically is when Daphne has a friend come visit and then he says, oh, she reminds me of the girls in Korea. And it's very weird.
It's super weird. It's almost like a different writer was in the room for like joke punch up and was like, what if? Because it felt just like, ew, especially Martin departed from his extremely like conservative, no foo-foo, like, feminine behavior mm-hmm. In the first season. He like departs from that in a big way. And this is later in the series that this happens. You're like, ew, what?
It's like, it's very, very odd. Another thing I notice about specifically Martin's characters are that there's like at least two situations I can think of where like a woman his age is interested in him and he's like, ugh, she's an old bag. Like that happens several times, and it's like It's very odd because – and, like, I don't actually know the age difference, but now I'm curious because he does end up with Wendy Malick, who I know most from Just Shoot Me.
Me too.
And she's definitely younger.
She was the babysitter. That's what fucking great. That felt really –
oh, I didn't remember that.
Babysat Frasier and Niles when she was 16. That was fucking gross.
Oh.
I hated that they ended the series that way because he had this relationship with Bonnie, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I forget if that was her name. The woman he was seeing for a long time, and then he kind of just ended things. And that felt like, yeah, that happens, okay. But for him to start dating Bonnie, or sorry, no, her name was Ronnie.
Oh, I forget Ronnie, what, yes.
Something, whatever. But like Sherry, maybe, I don't know.
Sherry, I remember Sherry.
That's what I meant. Yeah, he was dating her for a while and then just kind of ended things.
Yeah.
And Frasier and Niles didn't really like her because she was very like bombastic. That felt like a better match. And then it was just like, ew, this girl babysat for your kids and like while you were married and like, ew.
That is.
You drove her
home. You drove her. Oh, he drove. Okay. I
was the babysitter.
Yeah. Oh, he drove her home. Yeah. You know, it's weird when I think of that. Like, I remember when I used to babysit. I was always very fortunate. I had no incidents. But I think probably because I watched so much TV and Law & Order SVU and Lifetime movies. Yeah, I'm always worried some dad is going to be gross. And in this case, 25 years later, he dates the babysitter, which is pretty gross.
Yeah, like those are the weird missteps where I'm like, oh, like that's where you're like, oh, this is a 90s show. Like,
totally.
Not that happens still because it totally does. But those are the moments when it shows it's like, ew, like this is like a regular sitcom.
You also mention that Cam Winston is not enough. Yeah. Now, I bring this up because truly I think Cam Winston is what the only sort of really truly recurring character of color that they had. Yeah. I was a big fan of that character.
Funny.
Oh, I loved Cam Winston, and I loved that he seemingly was just like the mirror image of Frasier.
Yes.
But like better looking and black.
Yes. William Jackson. No, sorry. I was looking up answers to your casting question.
Oh.
Brian Mitchell. Yes.
Ryan Mitchell?
Ryan Mitchell.
Okay, got it. Yes. He was great. I was a fan, but I think that wasn't for many seasons.
Yeah.
And actually, I will say I often do not rewatch the seasons after season 7 as much. I definitely
Daphne and Niles are together.
I think the Daphne and Niles storyline was a favorite of mine. I will admit, granted, there are so many good episodes post season 7, but I remembered that like from either season 7 or 6, there's an episode where Cam Winston is first mentioned, but you don't meet him. He's just described as the rival neighbor. So that makes me think, you know, the decision of who was going to play him or, you know, if he was going to be black or white or anything didn't come up until they actually cast him.
Yeah, because, I mean, there is something that's inherently like, bleh, about like, he's just like Frasier except black.
Yeah, exactly. Like- he's one dimensional perhaps.
Yeah, but like, God, he was so funny. And then they gave him a mom, like a live-in. His mom lives with him.
Uh-huh.
And then, yes, him and Martin and her hook up.
Loved
and that's
it.
Great. I was here for that.
I was so, so into that entire storyline. And I also just liked her as a character.
Yeah.
Just, you know, strong. I was a fan.
Yeah.
But then I did start to think about, you know, what were the other people of color on that show? There were specific moments I remember that I didn't think about when I was much younger. Waiters, at least two black waiters. Like, I remember there's a waiter that brings champagne to the Winnebago when Niles is waiting for Daphne's wedding to Donnie to start. There's a black waiter. Then separately from that, one of my favorite episodes, which is called, I think, Three Valentines, Daphne and Martin go to dinner. And then one of the waiters comes over and tells Daphne she's beautiful and she's black. And yeah, that was generally what I feel like most people were assigned to, people of color. Wait staff,
yeah.
Definitely.
Cool.
Yes. So So that started to make me think about what would be like dream casting if this was a show that was remade and there were almost no rules, meaning you could put a person of color into the role. Maybe you could change their gender. So I wanted to ask you that. But perhaps I could inspire you with some people that came to mind. Yeah. Now, I don't know if you went through the same thing, but I felt it was a lot easier to start with the female characters. And one person that I really like is this actress. I think her name is Stephanie Beatrice. She plays Rosa on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. And in real life, she is queer. She's very open about it. And so I thought, not only would I love to see her as Roz, but I'd love to see her as a gay character and just seeing what a different dynamic that would be and the different plots that would come up with that. And did you ever watch this show called The L Word by any chance?
I know what The L Word is. I haven't seen it.
Well, I won't ruin anything for you. It's a great show. You know, the show is about mostly gay women. And so all the roles, like there's one character on the show who's kind of like a, I don't know, a heartthrob who's constantly, you know, sleeping with lots of people and everyone loves her. And that was never a character I had seen before. I'd only seen that character as a man. Yeah. So I thought she would be personally.
That's great.
Yeah. Into her. Okay. So I started thinking about what if Martin was also a retired cop, but a woman? And the first person that came to mind, and keep in mind, also no rules about do people have to be related. It's just all dream, weird, just casting. Yeah. Totally. I thought of Rita Moreno, who played Anita, which is also my name, in the movie West Side Story.
Oh, cool. Yes.
And she's like pretty badass, hard exterior. And she's also on a show that's on Netflix that I should watch. I don't know about you, but often if there's a show for me personally that is either got Latino writers or, you know, Latino people starring in it, there is a guilt that I feel that I must watch it. And honestly, I just hadn't heard about it, but there's like a show on Netflix called, I want to say it's called One Day at a Time, that I think is about a Latino family. And I haven't seen it. And you know why? It has... For me, I don't love all family shows always. And I don't know if they're supposed to be a happy or unhappy family, but like a show that my grandparents and parents loved when I was growing up was Everybody Loves Raymond. I can't stand that show. I can't. And they so clearly, like, the older brother of Ray clearly is like this miserable person that everyone very openly doesn't love as much as Raymond. Yeah. And that's something I love about Frasier, which is, yes, is one of them more famous than the other? Yes. But I would say there's all kinds of stuff that deals with the love between Martin and his two sons. Yes. And that's as far as I went with casting in my head. So if nothing comes to mind for anyone, that's also okay. But I was curious.
Miles, in particular, you're right. Like the kind of side characters were a little easier for me to think about, because like with Frasier, I kind of just kept thinking of Brian Stokes Mitchell, like Cam Winston. I was like, it would be cool to see what that upstairs floor looked like while all this shit with Frasier was going down.
Sure.
Niles was like impossible for me to think of. Like I thought of, I said his name by accident earlier, like William Harper Jackson, the guy who plays Chidi on The Good Place. I thought could be a good neurotic.
Oh, he's got glasses, I think.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Then yes, that is a really good pick.
Yeah.
Yes.
I thought I personally would love to see more Asian representation. And I was like, who would be like a good Martin type character? And I thought she's not like the brashness, but I think she's so funny. Amy Hill, who plays Lourdes Chan on Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, Josh's mom.
Oh man, you know, I think I watched the first season, so now I have to watch the second season to meet her.
I got it. She's just a really funny actress. I think she, if you like, I don't know what her character might be like tweaked as. Like, I would love to see her as like a hardened cop that's like retired and like living with her son or daughter or whatever. And I thought for like Daphne, I was like, okay, who is like kind of a space cadet-y type actor like that. And very weirdly, do you know Lakeith Stanfield? He's in Atlanta.
Yes. Yes.
I thought it would be really funny, like weird deviation. Not weird, but just like a different take on Daphne, because he is like so funny and spacey in that show. But to see him as like a physical therapist, I don't know, it just would sound like, not that it would be funny that he's a physical therapist, but I'd be so curious as to like, because I think he's just such a funny, very subdued actor. I think he could really play like the space cadet
That
kind of well.
I totally agree with that because I mean, I think I follow him on Instagram and Twitter. And oh, also I need a login to watch Atlanta season one, which is why I haven't watched all of season two yet. But there is a spaciness about him for sure. And I'd say there it's definitely a similarity between him and Daphne saying completely random, unexpected things that are very pleasantly surprising. So
Yes.
I could totally see that.
Yes. And I just actually thought of someone too, because I was looking at some article about Issa Rae earlier today, and I was like, oh, Molly, Yvonne Orji from Insecure, she got some like Frasier-y tendencies. I don't know who would, or Niles-y tendencies. She's just like very uptight in that show, her character. I don't know who would play the foil to her, because I think Issa Rae's character is very different in that show. But I was like, oh, I can see her living in Elliott Bay Towers. She's like high strung enough. She's very like anxious. I think that that actress could play, it's not quite Molly, but I think she could play some sort of neurotic take on phrase. Yeah. I guess it's so hard to cast Frasier and Niles, because it's like they're so central.
They're extremely central. I'm trying to think if there was anyone that came to mind for either one of them, and I think Josh Gondelman came up with a good one for Frasier, but I completely forgot. What I do think is fun is trying to think of who would play Maris, just in general.
I was just thinking about that today.
Yeah.
I
And mine is always and has always been Lara Flynn Boyle. That's my
Oh, wow.
picture.
Yeah, I mean,
Very
that.
thin, very pale.
Yes.
I think she checks all the boxes for me.
I mean, it is truly so funny. This is what's so original and crazy about the show. When Niles gets that dog that looks very gaunt, I'm like, that is exactly like what I pictured Maris to look like.
Absolutely. Also, it's just interesting to see, even like you can only guess, you can only have your idea of who she is. So you get it in dog form, and then you get it in the form of Mel,
Yeah,
who
exactly.
I think you get your window into what kind of person Maris was.
The Venn diagram of Mel and this like very thin dog.
I love it. Well, I think we have gone through all of the excerpts that at least I highlighted. I didn't know if there was anything that you wanted to mention that I didn't from it.
No in particular. I just think overall, Frasier is such a funny show, and I think my friends who are not interested in watching it often think they won't understand the jokes because it's so like highbrow. But I think the point is, it is still funny even when you don't understand jokes, because again, you kind of don't want to understand why they're making a joke about a sherry bottled in 1967 or something. You're like, you guys are aliens. And I don't know, I like really like that about the show. It doesn't make me feel stupid.
Absolutely. You know what? You just made me think of there was another thing that I wanted to mention, which is, so do you remember this storyline with Dr. Mary? It was a radio host who was like really funny and loud, and Frasier was clearly threatened by her and didn't necessarily want to like tell her he wasn't like a fan because she was black. And what was interesting was, like, I've seen that episode a bunch. And then I thought about a different episode of Frasier, where he's in a very similar situation, except he befriends a guy who's in a wheelchair and he
Oh,
doesn't
yes.
like him, but is afraid to say anything because he's in a wheelchair. And so, as bad as the representation was on the show, those specifically those two episodes, at least for me, humanized him just showing this like insecurity that he had of like wanting people to know, like if he didn't like them, it was at a deeper level, not anything surface like that.
Yeah. In the episode with the wheelchair, doesn't he purposely say something shitty to the guy so that the guy is allowed to be mad at him? Yes. And not like, he's like, I don't like you because I forget what he said. He makes it so that the guy wants to break up with him.
Right. He, yes. He essentially, he says to this guy, Bob, you know, I think you're boring or something. And then Bob's like, I wish it was the wheelchair, because he feels so bad about himself. And then Fraser's like, actually, it's the wheelchair. And then, of course, it doesn't work out for him doing that.
Yeah. Fraser. Yes. Yes. Yeah. It's like brushes where it's like definitely an all white room with no, with all like able-bodied people that are trying to brush on a subject they are far out of their depth for. Because the Dr. Mary thing was like, I'm not really sympathizing with Fraser. There are no black people at this radio station.
No. Which is, big problem. And also weird too, you know, you think about the way people talk, especially, you know, people of color or characters that aren't white that are clearly being written by white people. So it's like, you know, the whole plot line or even the character of Dr. Mary was tough, because there was like, you know, just a lot of times that she would talk and just things she was saying that were clearly like some white guy's idea of like a black woman, which was like very weird. And I feel like that storyline could have been better and more realistic had that character actually been written by a black woman.
Yes, 100%.
So I think it had potential. But, you know, hey, in the new reboot that hasn't been written yet, it's going to be a just, you know, every race and gender and sexual orientation is going to be represented. And
no fat Daphne season. That was the line of all time. Oh, my God.
The worst way to cover a real pregnancy.
They could have said she was visiting England.
Oh, yeah.
Women in the past, like, she got fat, so I sent her to a camp. What?
Yeah, no, that was
ew, Niall.
It was so odd. I will say, I did really love the episode which I think involves some heavy graphics, or I don't know how they did it, where he essentially, Daphne is mad at him because her therapist after fat camp essentially says, the reason you're scared to, I think, have sex with Niles is because he has this fantasy idea. And then Fraser and Niles like go into Niles's mind, and somehow they're like there looking at old scenes from the show. And I was like, I was very into that, just as an idea.
Yes, I fucking love that shit. When Niles had to get heart surgery and they're going through the hospital, and every room there's like a moment of Fraser and Niles's life together. Kill me. This show kills me.
Oh, I mean, if we're talking about heart-wrenching moments, there was also an episode with a side plot where Martin never tells Niall and Fraser that he's going to, like, the hearing of the guy that shot him. And he's, like, sort of built this, like, somehow friendly relationship with the guy's mom. And that was a heart-wrenching, and there is no like funny ending to that whole thing. He just doesn't get parole, and then he continues to be in jail, and then it's like hard for I don't know how you interpreted it, but for me, I'd never fully understood Martin's reaction to it, whether he was satisfied or, you know.
Conflicting, because they put the mother in the courtroom for a reason, to be like, look, I'm you in this situation. I'm a parent.
For sure.
And I want a single child. And it's I think it's one of those rare sitcom-y moments where it's like up to interpretation, sort of. Like, absolutely. Yeah, which is like, it feels, so rare for a three camera sitcom to do something like that.
For sure, for sure. I could talk for many more hours. I feel like. You know what? You should, if you'd like, you should come back and do another episode if you'll do it. But I feel like you will. You?
I will.
Oh, good. Great. You know, I think you would be the perfect person. This is something I've been saving, and I haven't even I have a bunch of recordings coming up for different topics. None are Niles and Daphne. I don't think. I want to really get into that topic.
could be a multiple arc, honestly. I mean, to me, there's like, I need to break it down as an idea, but essentially I want to do like a cute or creepy and like come up with a bunch of stuff that he did or said or about her even before they started dating and think about, is this cute or is this creepy? Yes. I want to talk about their relationship and how it holds up post season 7. There's a lot to get through.
A lot.
Yes. So sounds like you'd be the right person to talk to about that. wait, is there anything that you would like to plug that you have coming up or places people should follow you? To your home, but online.
Not Nile style to following. You can follow me at Rekha L. Shankar. So that's Rekha L as in Larry, Shankar on Twitter. I'm also head writer for the Hardly Working series at College Humor. So you can watch all our sketches on YouTube and things like that. And if you're in LA, come out to the Reductress show, Ha Ha Wow, at UCB Sunset, because I host that with Janie Stoller.
Thank you so much for being a guest. And yes, we'll definitely have to have you back.
Love it.
And good night, Seattle.